Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 231, episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is, of course, Wednesday, May 25th, 2022. It is Tao Day.
Mm-hmm.
I have mine on my lap. Wow. I actually didn't know it was Tao Day, but I just keep it on my lap when I'm eating peanut butter toast because it can
Wait, where's mine?
It can get messy.
Oh, hold on.
Is that a real day? Is that for real?
There's an absurd day for everything.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, if we lobbied hard enough, I mean, we could get the Pipe Jerry or Jerry Pipe Day for that episode of Grand Crew if we want to.
My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Because the pod brings you Jack. That is courtesy of Eric Keller, who... Actually, that's not courtesy of him. I just did that because I wanted to get a Blues Traveler one in because Eric Keller let me know, after listening to today's pod, I had to wonder if you fellas knew Blues Traveler and Bruce Willis had a collaboration on one of their albums.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Which I think is called, like, Free Willis or Free... I don't know. Right. I did not know. You were right to wonder. We did not know that.
Hell no.
But that makes sense because Bruce Willis, I think, just had an instant pang of jealousy when he heard a blues-ish song go mainstream number one. I think he wasn't having that shit.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I gotta go. They need some Bruno. Anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Miles Gray, a.k.a. Juneteenth. Walmart really knows now. It's the freedom for me. What the fuck were those dumbass items that Walmart paraded out this week? It's the freedom for me. Okay.
Wow.
Very interesting. The moments where I could be like, can I be in my brainstorming session of some of these companies?
That somebody needs to make a documentary about. Just keep trying. Whoever's out there trying to make a documentary, like, you know, we got that leak of the Pepsi logo design.
But there's so many bad marketing decisions that happen. Or like the brainstorm behind the Imagine video. Could you imagine if somebody had captured that?
I like to see the crash and burn of these marketing.
I do too.
They're fun.
The best. But like I want to see their conversation that leads to it. Yeah, the room where it's
look, Jack, here's the thing. I think most, especially people of color, have been in this situation. If they've ever worked anywhere that's predominantly white, there'll be a bad idea in the room and you're the only one looking around, be like, oh, fuck.
Oh, no.
And then they go, Miles, what do you think about that? And you're fucked because you just started there. And you're like, I mean, are there any other ideas? And he's like, but it's not offensive, right? I'm like, well, I'm 25 and I just started working here. I don't know if the best person to ask. Great. Print it. It's always just like you need one person's cosign for any terrible mistake. And I think it just, yeah.
That felt like a personal attack because I do say great, print it after every time we just make a decision on our creative team. So.
Like, you mean just stop this recording of the
print
audio
it.
File? Print it.
Great, print it. Do finger guns. Anyways, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a hilarious comedian, director, and writer. Who you know from the hilarious NBC sitcom Grand Crew, The Last OG, Ghosted, People of Earth, Hoops,
from her comedy album
Karate. It's been way too damn long.
Charlotte
Lauriston!
What up? It's Charlotte. I'm here. I'm British now. I've been in the UK for like 20 years. No, I'm here. I'm excited. I haven't seen you guys in so long.
British Columbia.
Yeah.
I moved to Vancouver. Nuts. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, my favorite town.
So cool.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. The Zeit Gang is strong up there. We owe you a live show in Vancouver.
You guys for sure Toronto. Should do it. Yeah.
I can't keep telling people how much I love it up there. I love it.
There's a good comedy scene here. There's a pretty good, like, little indie comedy scene out here. I like it.
Mm. Yeah. We've had a few BC comedians on before.
Oh, nice.
At least one. Yeah.
I still don't know anybody. It's like, I've still been here through the pandemic. Like, I think I know two people.
You haven't excavated the indie comedy scene of your local community that you just moved to during the pandemic? Come on, Charlotte.
I've been very slow and lackadaisical about it.
I mean, that sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah.
To me, but I'm an introvert.
Are you missing anything from California while you've been in?
Everything. Sunshine. Oh, yeah. Number one. Sure.
Isn't it starting to change, though, a little bit?
It just started. Like, this was the first good weekend or, like, the first sunny weekend we've had all year so far.
Okay.
It's just gray and, like, 40s, been, 50s.
You know how there's June gloom in L.A.? Yeah. It's like that, but for 6 months. So, but the summer here, I actually think, you know, I'll say this live on air, but, like, I actually think Vancouver is, like, a secret hotspot for the summer. Like, people are sleeping on it. I was just like, if this
secret
is
COVID hotspot, or what are we talking about?
Absolutely, 100%.
The place to be.
If you want beautiful hiking, beautiful mountains, like beaches, lakes, like there's an island. We just went to the island over the weekend for Victoria Day. There's different holidays.
Oh, you went to Victoria Island?
Yeah, we went over to Victoria Island. It was absolutely stunning. I went to Bowen Island for a yoga retreat. I've just been living my best, like, white woman life, like, yoga life, like island life, like I'm living my best life.
You got all white linen?
All white linen, all white people. Yeah. No, it's not it's not diverse. That's also what I miss from LA.
A little bit different.
Is some POC. It's been great.
Sure.
I have to think that at least over half of our American listeners are like, damn, she did it right. Hearing that you moved to Vancouver during the pandemic, like that the last time you were on, like, Miles was would have been very jealous. Now I'm like, so, like, what do you need to get citizenship up there? And like, what's that?
Yeah,
but congratulations on
making
that move.
Thank you.
And we're gonna get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, a couple of things we're talking about. We are gonna try and wade into the Johnny Depp versus Amber Heard trial, more so the media barrage. And just like the significance of how much attention, how much of the national shared consciousness it is taking up. We're going to talk about a bill that seems like it might. I think this is a typo, Miles. It says it might make things better. did you fuck up there? What happened?
A bill? Really? Okay.
All right.
We'll talk about it. It might work.
All of that, plenty more. But first, Charlotte, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Oh, man, this is embarrassing. But right now I'm watching OWN, Oprah Winfrey Network's Put a Ring on It. But there, it's not in Canada, so I have I did a long Google search of trying to find it just on the internet, and I eventually found it. So thanks, internet.
Yeah.
How to watch Put a Ring on It is my Google search. In Canada is my last Google search.
Were there any deep textual analyses how to watch Put a Ring on It?
How
to situate yourself ontologically.
I actually found a bunch of YouTube channels that recap the show and talk about the relationships. So it's like a therapist that sits down with three couples who are on the brink, and whether they're going to walk away or put a ring on it. And the whole show just watches them open up their relationship and date other people. So it's amazing. And it's actually a really good show. People are actually having real breakthroughs, but I'm kind of a reality junkie, so this is me in a nutshell. I'll do anything to watch.
Damn. Ultimatum ripped this show off.
It did. That's exactly what happened. Yes, because this show is in its third season or something.
So this is the living single to Friends.
That's exactly what it is.
Pipeline. I think we've seen this before.
I haven't watched the ultimatum, but I'll be able to tell you next time I'm on if it's better than this.
I mean, I've seen it fucking twice now, but
wow,
the way you're describing it sounds the same premise. They're couples who are on the brink of having to either get married or explore whether or not this person's right for them. They facilitate that by having them go on dates and destabilizing things just to figure out at the end if they're right for each other. But the way the ultimatum does it is reckless.
I'm lying because I'm a reality junkie. I've definitely watched the ultimatum, and it was just so boring I forgot.
Right.
This seems similar to the Country Music Network Shit or Get Off the Pot. I wonder if there's any influence there.
It's called Shit or Get.
Shit or Get.
wait, are you not just using a VPN though?
My VPN didn't work. I tried to use my VPN to use my Hulu to do my HBO Max. It didn't work. So I think they're onto us.
You know what it is?
It literally shows up and it says in the country.
As a VPN hooligan,
yeah.
Sometimes some of the streaming services, they catch on to specific server locations that you pick.
Okay.
So if you're in a larger city, some of them, they're don't pick New York because there's a lot of VPN traffic going through those servers, and it's easier for Netflix to be that's the one, stop it, versus just shift over to New Jersey.
Okay.
And then suddenly, and if you look, there's a lot of articles where people talk about which VPN server locations you need to use to be able to watch your streaming without having to do the 1.5 speed weird YouTube rips that people end up resorting to.
Okay, thank you.
Everything's legal in Jersey. Isn't that a line from Hamilton? I like to quote Hamilton. I feel like it makes me seem cool. But what do you guys think?
Is that an actual line?
I think so, yeah. Because they keep going over there to duel. He sends his son over there to get shot. And then he goes over and gets shot.
You definitely listened to it very recently. How often are you listening to it?
I haven't listened to it in 2 years. But when I was listening to it, I was listening to it too much.
Right.
All of us.
I remember you tweeted a couple weeks ago. You said, you guys are too busy with Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. I'm sitting with a real classic, the Hamilton
soundtrack. I'm discovering new things.
Hey. Uh-oh, Kendrick wasn't the only one in the lab.
The only word, Smith.
So was Lin-Manuel on this one.
I liked his character work on The Heart Part 5, but could he have possibly inhabited the role of a founding father? Would it have killed him? You know? Am I right over here, folks?
That sounds like that's like a Gutfeld monologue joke or something.
By the way, Gutfeld, still a show, I believe.
Yeah, right? No, it's killing.
It's killing it. It's very popular.
Ratings-wise, not humor or as a product for people to consume-wise. It's just many people watch it.
I don't know. The jokes are pretty sharp. They're great over there. Yep. On Gutfeld.
Sharp as the tip of a clan hood.
Exclamation point.
I just have to look up Gutfeld.
Yeah. What is something you think is overrated?
What do I think is overrated? Real talk. You know what? Work. I think work is overrated. Real talk.
Go on.
I just feel like as a country, we're going through a lot, you know, and like sometimes we, you know, we can like ignore work. We can ignore everything and how we're feeling about it just to continue to go to work. And right. You know what? Sometimes I'm just like, you know what? Fuck work, yo. Like we need to take care of ourselves first. So maybe that's off the top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's how we're raised in America.
It is. Yeah. It is.
One mode, work.
If I take more than a week of vacation, my brain starts attacking itself.
Yeah. You know, another
thing. Oh, yeah.
I took a break. I've been taking a break for quite some time, and there's all this shame. You feel ashamed of yourself. Yeah, you're just like, am I even like worth it?
Yeah. Like, and you're like, get that damn boot out your mouth.
Yeah.
Get that fucking boot out your mouth.
Yeah.
You're like, we've just been raised with that reflex to be like, if you do anything less than backbreaking work 48 hours a day, you are nothing.
You're a piece of shit. Yeah. It's not good. It's not a good way to think.
I mean, I even have guilt like that with like immigrant parents, black grandparents, like just thinking of how hard people's lives were from people I descend from. And I'm like, I'm a fucking comedian podcaster. Absolutely. I'm like, am I working?
We're some constantly. Of the hardest working. I feel like for hustlers, like people hustling to make a living out of this industry, that just be like, you know, we don't even want you, you know? So it's just like, we're working really hard just to make something. But yeah, this year I was like, yo, work is not it.
Would you say you just this year turned a corner where you yelled at the shitty shift manager in your brain and you're like, man, shut the fuck up. I'm going to take a break when I want to.
I love that metaphor. I love that. Like I feel like it happened at the end of 2019. At the end of 2019, I was just absolutely burned out. Like, just could not deal with another thing. But there's all these things going on in your head. Like, if I stop working, am I even alive? Am I real? Like, what does it mean? You know, like and it also just feels like, especially with what we do, like if you take a break, then do you disappear? Like, will people remember me? You know, am I relevant anymore? And I'm glad to report that like I've been real quiet for the last, I would say, 2 years, and no one's forgotten me. There's been no catastrophic end to my career. If anything, I feel a lot better, and I'm coming back with a different relationship to work. One that puts me at the center, that values me and my mental health and my well-being before, I guess, other
shift
people.
Manager in your head.
Straight up. That's exactly. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. I took 2 weeks off recently for the first time, I think, since my honeymoon, maybe. And my parents' reaction was like, how? Wow. How are you going to,
You could do that?
So like, are you bringing your computer down to Guatemala? Or it's just, I'm like, okay, I know. Now I'm starting to like see the mask, see like who the shift manager was modeled after.
Absolutely. Yeah, right. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
And you can do that? That's the other one. Yeah. You're allowed to do that?
Absolutely.
And
not just my parents, like a lot of people, people I know who are just like friends. You know,
yeah, we're just so inundated and we've been inoculated with these shit values of like just a hustling and shit.
Bullshit.
And we're only now like beginning to have like real pushback, like public or people like that shit is dumb and toxic and doesn't make sense. And it's actually the worst way to like prioritize how you experience your physical life, like putting that work shit rather than being like, how do I maintain like my semblance of peace or happiness first?
Absolutely.
And then try to do it. But we don't always have the, you know, luxury or ability to even take time off. And that's why I think it's important. Hopefully more people are radicalized by that realization and being like, wait, hold up. This is such a fucked up deal.
Absolutely. Like,
we need a better way to do this.
Absolutely.
Because it's not like the fucking earth stops spinning because somebody fucking took parental leave. You know what I mean? But they have everybody thinking that's how this shit works. Like, it's this fucking perpetual motion machine. It's like, if one person stops hustling, we'll all die.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and find out what you think is underrated and get into the news.
Uh-huh. Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
And we're back. And Charlotte, we like to ask our guests, finally, what is something you think is underrated?
You know, this goes hand in hand with what I think is overrated. What I think is underrated is rest. I think, and I don't just mean like, taking a break. I mean, taking a real break where you don't feel guilty about taking a break, where you don't feel ashamed of taking a break. You genuinely turn off, you genuinely take a break and you rest and you are present and in the moment and you enjoy your time and you come back refreshed and rejuvenated and ready.
Yeah. I just realized something I was doing was like, so during the week, during the work week, I like wake up and meditate and try and meditate twice a day, like get myself, you know, in the most healthy place I can. But on the weekends, like I just like don't do that. I'm like not valuing my day of rest as like an important day where I need to like be taking care of myself and, you know, go proactively, you know, just like putting myself in the best position to like have a good day. I'm just like, nah. All right. Right. My kids fucking woke me up. I guess I go downstairs and like dump cereal in front of them and just
on their heads.
Stand there itching my ass.
Yeah. I was just going to ask, like, as a parent on the weekends, do you even get that time? Like, what do you even have to do to get that time?
Yeah, you just need a schedule with, you know, I mean, I'm fortunate to have my wife who, you know, we can schedule time out. So.
Nice.
Yeah, so she can take a break. You could take a break. I mean, I really do feel that, like, on the weekend, for whatever reason, like, I'm like you, Jack, I'm much more mindful about where my thoughts are and like how I'm setting myself up in the morning. But then like a weekend hits and I'm like, it's like a lazy Tuesday.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, yeah, get out of bed. I don't know, man. Fuck it. Yeah. Like, just,
is there still cupcake in the cupboard? Shit, man. I'm just going to eat whatever cupcakes are left over.
And it's not even like this idea too, like, oh, you need to go on a vacation or whatever. Like, try a form of disconnecting that you never have before. And I think that's kind of the real big point, Charlotte, that you're making, right? Is like, can you, I get like, if you have other duties and things like that, you can't completely go off the grid, but are you able to, when you have a day off, not look at your phone, just take some time to really just experience, like just kind of sit with yourself or go out and experience nature or just do something like that, that isn't sort of like tangentially tied to what you normally do. And you will feel a really big difference. I mean, there was a time, like 2 weeks ago, I forgot my phone at home when we went out to go somewhere. And I was like, shit, I've got my fucking phone. And I was like, should I turn around? And part of me was like, man, fuck it. Like, this is good. Just fucking exist. And like, if anyone really needs to get a hold of you, they know how to get a hold of you. I was like, I was with Her Majesty, so it wasn't that big of a deal. But it really was at the end. I was like, holy shit. While she was using her phone, I just kind of sat looking around.
Asked her what she was looking at on her phone.
No. Yeah, I'm like, hey, no fair. Let me use it a little bit too. All right, you had it for 2 minutes. Now let me get in on that. No, I felt like the person that, like, you know, 5 years ago, I'm like, look at this weird dude all when there was no phone, like looking around at things in a restaurant. Yeah. Like, you know
asshole.
What I mean? Like, yeah. Like, and it was
who
very.
Do you think you are? Yeah.
I reminded myself, I'm like, oh shit, like, I usually sit with like the fear of like not being occupied with something, like even my phone or a distraction, and to not do that and subjecting myself to like hours of it was fun. I mean, not fun. I was just like, oh, that wasn't bad. And actually, I've had a different experience than I normally do.
It's crazy that it's weird now and just in our lifetime too. Like when we were kids, like we didn't even have phones. And now like there are things that we absolutely feel weird if we're not on constantly. What a life.
Exactly.
What a life we've led.
We had a guest on Monday, Margaret Killjoy, who said something that's really sat with me since she was on, which is she talks about how much her world is screen-based.
Yeah.
Whether she's writing or having a podcast or research or do these other things, that she really has things that are not screen-based activities that are also take attention and aren't just literally like, I look out a window for 45 minutes. It's just like, no, I do other shit with my hands that doesn't involve a screen. And I really kind of I was really trying to lean into that the last couple of days, and it's been beneficial actually to like kind of prioritize. I'm like, now I need something that doesn't involve a screen. Like, you know, in the old, even fucking reading a book is fine.
Yeah.
But just don't be on the fucking screen. And that's a,
do you have anything?
Subtle thing I didn't realize was taking.
I actually have this really good nature YouTube video I'm going to forward to you, Miles, that just like makes you feel like you're just so unplugged.
Dude, and if you put headphones on that are noise canceling, it's recorded binaural audio. Like, you will feel like you are in the Everglades.
My wife and I last night were watching like videos of starfinches. Is that the like bird that's incredibly populous in Europe? Like the birds that do like the murmurations that are
starlings.
Like, starlings. Yeah.
Murmurations of starlings.
Yeah, murmurations of starlings. Like on our phone, we're like, this is it, man.
we're just getting
back to basics.
Oh, man.
Oh shit.
Well, look at that murmuration. How many birds you think that is?
Yeah.
They're all vibing as one.
Mm-hmm. Do you have anything, Miles?
Interrupt. Sorry?
Charlotte asked if you have anything that like allows you to unplug, and then I interrupt.
Oh, yeah, have you found anything?
YouTube nature video.
Yeah, group. I mean, I play my instruments more. I mean, I've been a musician my whole life, and
nice.
A lot of the time I didn't have time to like just play for fun. So now, like, I just, rather than making beats on a computer or something, I just turn the amp up and I just kind of play and I just kind of vibe out with that. That or reading or riding my bike. I mean, nice. I really like riding my like bikes since I was a kid. So I just like mob around fucking neighborhood and shit. And I just kind of listen to music, and it's nice to just feel the, you know, the sensation of being present in my physical body and not being in my fucking thoughts all the time.
And I ride pegs when Miles is riding around on his bike. Yeah. I go handlebars.
And even though I tell you, you got to wear a helmet because your wife is like, make sure he wears a helmet. I'm like, I tell him, but he doesn't listen. He says it doesn't look cool.
Yeah. I like take it off like an inch above my head.
You're trying to be, you're trying to be a rebel. So you undo the chin strap and you're like, well, whatever. It looks more low key. Like,
all right, Charlotte, has this story reached you up in the outer reaches of North America and in Canada? Has the Johnny Depp versus Amber Heard trial,
you heard of this,
dominated? Absolutely. Yeah. So this, I've wanted to talk about this because our show one of our goals is to map the zeitgeist, and this has been absolutely everywhere. And there's a journalist named Natalie Scherr, and she has kind of been following the case throughout and like tweeting about it. And then she just dropped an article on New Republic. I really like her. I trust her judgment. And her thing from the start has been like, you know, Amber Heard's stories like are pretty like full of holes, and there's like a lot of kind of contradictory evidence. So she's like, I would not that. So the main point of the article is like that there's a lot of think pieces being like, this is, you know, if you're on the left, you are team Heard. If you're on the right, like, you're team Johnny Depp. And her kind of point is, actually, they're both wrong. The case, like, neither illustrates society's eagerness to denigrate and victimized women, or the opposite. The, you know, it doesn't show that there is, like, a pervasive misandrist witch hunt out there. But I don't know. So like the thing that I feel like her account leaves out is just she kind of treats it as like a tawdry celebrity story that's like a passing curiosity. But like, I've not seen a story take over as much as this one has. Like, maybe I don't know. It's like the new fucking OJ trial. Like, people are just breathlessly like reporting everything that happens in the courtroom. And I think that like that is the story here, actually, is like how, I don't know if it is the result of a sort of nascently misogynistic culture just like waiting for the right case where they can make their point that like, well, you can't believe all women because look, she's lying. Or if that's being pushed by like industry, you know, people who have stuff riding on Johnny Depp's like continued career. But it, one way or another, it does feel like it's a bigger deal than just like a tawdry news story that's like passing. Like, it feels like Gamergate to me. And like, Gamergate is not, you know, the point of Gamergate was not like, well, you know,
there's corruption in game development.
Right. And like to go in and like analyze that, it's, you know, I think her main point that she's making is like, don't stake the Me Too movement and like the integrity of the Me Too movement on like the I Believe Amber Heard movement.
Right.
But I think that's fine. But like overall, her characterization of the case and its popularity, I think, is a little dismissive. And like,
oh, I mean, it doesn't take into account what the chilling effect is for people who are abuse victims.
Yeah.
Right. You know, like, because what we're doing is on TikTok, we're showing even younger people. It's not just adults who are engaging with this content. It's younger people, too, who are looking at a thing where, if you just look at it, at the situation on social media, you'd think if you speak to support Amber Heard or question Johnny Depp, then you're just going to get flamed by a ton of people. And then gives this idea of like, is that the right side? If you're not thinking about it critically. On another, you just get an example of like, well, these people are also clearly Like, if you look at the case that Johnny Depp had against the Sun in the UK, like, the court found 12 of the 14 allegations, like, to rise to, like, a civil standard, like, that they wasn't, that it wasn't hearsay. Right. And there's a complete, like, a lot of people are treating this case like as if Johnny Depp is going to go to jail if he loses this trial, when other observers have pointed out it was a weird move for him, and almost seems like he knew what would happen by taking on this case or pursuing this case, which is, you know what, if I go out here, you're going to have to cop to a lot of shit that you did. And at the end of the day, they're going to think you look way worse than even I do, even with all the stuff they're going to hear about me. Because this a lot of awful shit has come out about Johnny Depp in the course of this trial. But it's just been kind of like, we'll keep the focus there. And this feels like a very odd, like, tactic to just sort of kind of, like, deepen the pain of, like, of just a toxic relationship. And, like, now watch me take you to court and make this completely miserable for everybody.
Damn. Miles, you sound like a lawyer talking about this case. Hearsay, rise to civil standard. I didn't know.
Look, you know why, though? Because if I look at it like anybody else, I was confused as fuck as to what the fuck was going on. Part of me said, damn, these people got so much energy for Johnny Depp. Something's going on. And I was like, fuck it. It might not be worth it for me to really examine what's going on here. But I think that's most people's response, because one side is so vocal that it's just kind of like, oh, shit. Like, I don't know what to say. Right. But this is really significant. I mean, you look at the amount of people who have been making money on YouTube views off of this. Like, there's a whole industry now, like a cottage industry, about amplifying, like, pro Depp, anti Heard messaging. Damn. On social media too. Like, there's on Vice, they did a interview with, like, some kid who had a pro Depp YouTube channel. He had 349 subscribers, like, before the trial. This kid has 12,000 now, and he's 15. Damn. Just putting together super cuts of, like, ownage montages of Amber Heard. And he's like, yeah, I have time because I'm homeschooled. And you just kind of see, like, there's an appeal or there's an inroad for someone to benefit, even if they realize, like, what they're perpetuating or not. But it's also just, you see how much opportunity this is presented, whether it's to, like, channels that are going to do round the clock coverage or clickbait for websites. It's clear that, like, this, the audience interaction with it too is also, like, feeding the media in, like, this really bizarre feedback loop as well. And I'm like, and it had me again feeling like, what's going on? Like, and does this saturation mean something?
I haven't been paying that much attention to it because of exactly what Miles said, that it just feels like a toxic relationship on the stand, and for public opinion to, I guess, contribute to this toxic relationship. But I feel like there's nothing. I feel like it being attached to Me Too is unfortunate, because I feel like it has nothing to do with Me Too. And I feel like it's unfair for every single celebrity situation to be raised to the level of, I guess, justifying Me Too or not. So, right. I mean, I think it's unfortunate also, because I think celebrities, you know, I don't know, there seems to be, like, some mental illness stuff going on with this too, just like the level of violence and the level of toxicity between the two of them, the drug use, all the stuff that's going on, and it's all just for public consumption, and we're just watching it and taking sides. But it's like, these are two human beings who clearly are not all together, and their shit's out for everybody to judge.
And it's allowed for a lot of, like, in general, the, because of, you know, there's like Amber Heard isn't the perfect victim.
Right.
Therefore, she is not a victim. Therefore, she, in fact, is the actual abuser. Kind of like sort of logic is what you're seeing played out. And we see this shit all the time. There's seldom a perfect abuser. If you're in a relationship or any kind of, you're fighting against something, at a certain point, you push back, because that's your human nature of being in a situation like this. And you see this all the time. Even with, like, police violence, right? The police kill somebody and then they're like, nah, well, you know, they were smoking weed.
Yeah.
It's like, they got shot in their home. Or they shouldn't have ran.
Wait, like, what the hell?
Hold on. They had a gun? Well, it was the cops just busted in the door with guns, like, waving guns. What? What are you talking about? And so it's like this reflex of like just also being like, well, there's no such thing as a perfect victim and nothing really to see here. Let's just kind of keep this moving. Can't believe Johnny Depp has had to go through such a horrible ordeal.
Yeah. And
but that doesn't feel like this at all to me.
The fact that this is the most sort of popular and like just media saturating case that has happened in the Me Too era, I feel like is like it's this other type of lie that's very common and effective in American culture, which is the sampling error, where they find like the one instance where either their point is true or it's easy for them to make the case that the, you know, victim is lying, and they make it, you know, they use that to blow it up and put it everywhere and make it seem like this is what things are actually like. It's like, no, this is extremely unusual. There are a lot of unique factors happening in this case, like you were talking about, Sharla. And, you know, this is the same thing that happens with the local news where it's not that they're making up crimes to show on the local news. They are just showing a disproportionate number of crimes committed by Black men or people of color or, you know, whoever they want to make people think is committing the most crimes. And like that,
it's called confirmation bias, isn't it? Is that what it's called?
Well, there's sampling error, but then I mean, that confirmation bias is like that helps them believe what they already wanted to believe.
And I think that's the thing too, is like I was reading like a thread from like a mental health counselor who deals a lot with abuse survivors, and talking about how sometimes in the narrative of someone's head, if things don't match up perfectly with yours, sometimes that can be a threat to the validity of your claim that you had that been through an ordeal. And that, you know, was to start talking about the phenomenon of how some of that doubt or whatever is just, you know, like this sort of internalized misogyny too, of like being like, oh God, well, like, and we're seeing a lot of these women be elevated as like the biggest depth defenders too, who are being like, let me tell you, I've been through something, what Amber Heard is going through, bullshit. So it's also causing this really fucked up split with people who have gone through a similar situation, and also just like the empathy is not flowing properly at all. And we're just getting into this really fucked up, you know, like you're saying, like we're just watching this toxic mess play out, and we have like kids taking sides, making TikTok videos where it's like, you're 12 years old and you're like pretending to be Amber Heard in a video. Like what it's doing to popular culture, I think, is another thing too, that we're not really kind of grappling with. It's like almost like when that Lorena Bobbitt case came out when I was a kid, I was like, yo, she chopped this dude's penis off. But then you're like, oh my God, he was abusing her physically and sexually for years.
Well, is it the case that's affecting popular culture, or is it popular culture affecting the case? Because it's like, if this case wasn't a place like, I don't know, Finland, where do they have like equal, where there's like equality between the sexes? If it was a place that was more objective, if it was a place like, there's already conspiracy theories coming out about all kinds of things. Every new thing that comes out, there's a new conspiracy theory. So it just kind of feels just like, it's us that is reflecting this case. Like it's us. If it was dropped in another culture that wasn't so toxic towards women, that wasn't so toxic in general, would it be different? I think it would be really different. But because it's us, because we already have bias, because we already don't believe and we don't want, you know, or not enough of us want it, this is what we're seeing. And we're not able to actually objectively look at this is, hey, these are two people who are in a really toxic relationship that probably need to handle this in a different way and handle themselves in a different way. But we're watching it like a circus. And it's actually like really sad. I think it's really sad.
I feel like this is the like Brett Kavanaugh thing, where the people who didn't want to believe the accuser in that case, but the accuser was just fucking telling the truth, and it was like pretty obvious, like that this is like those people coming back and being like, see.
And not only that accuser was extremely valid. Like she was an ideal accuser.
Perfect victim.
She was white, she was educated, she wasn't poor. You know, like she had all of the things that we would imagine we would want from an accuser, and it still wasn't enough. So it tells me that like we're in a culture that doesn't want to take, we don't want to change the status quo. We don't want to take away the power of these men to be able to do what they do. And we listen to them when they talk about like that was the danger when we were talking, whenever a new accuser was accused, and it was like, it was a joke. She misread my advance. She's confused. She's the stupid one. Actually, this is a witch hunt. She's trying to bring me down. And it's just like, okay, we can play those games and act like these men aren't actually predators, but we didn't want to do that. So now I feel like every time a new case comes out, it's just like what Jack was saying. It's like a new sample bias or something like that. Like we just choose what we want to believe when we see these new stories come out.
I mean, the last time they used a breakup between a video game reviewer and a game designer for like a culture-wide eruption of like violent misogyny in the like game fan industry. But like this, I don't know. This just also feels seismic. I feel like any attempt to just be like, it's a small, tawdry, like celebrity gossip story is like, no, this feels like it's giving a big, like ugly part of the culture, like something that they wanted to.
Yeah. It's another Rorschach test. We're collectively failing.
Yeah.
Just to be like, that's what you see. Oh boy. Okay. Yeah. We got a lot of work to do. And the other part about this too, is there isn't a lot of talk about like, what exactly like the legal strategy of Johnny Depp too. Like him and Amber Heard, they lived in California together, but anti-slap laws are very strong in California. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of laws to protect people from like defamation suits if they're like, you know, speaking out against like well-known people. California is it's a lot harder to bring those kinds of cases there. And Fairfax County in Virginia, completely different story. The laws are not as strict when it comes to these like sort of anti-slap laws. And his lawyer first was saying like, well, you know, she said something to the Washington Post, and that their servers are actually in Fairfax, Virginia, and that's why we're doing it here. But then like later on was just also kind of acknowledging, like his lawyer acknowledged in a pretrial hearing that one of the reasons they brought the case in a Fairfax County courthouse is because Virginia's anti-slap law is not as broad as the one in California. Hmm. So there's so many layers to like the intent too of like what Johnny Depp's aims are too. And also just again, like there is this very, there's just like this side of it I can't understand like logically, right? Because You could have just stopped talking, gone on with your career. But this trial is bringing, like, again, it's bringing more things on the record about Johnny Depp that I'm sure he wouldn't want out there. But in this instance, it's almost like, well, you know what? She has to humiliate herself now too.
Right.
And guess what? I have more supporters, and it's going to look a lot worse for her than it is for me. And it's the same. And that's why Marilyn Manson is doing the exact same thing.
Damn.
Yeah,
it's like also. It's like a playbook. Like we're seeing like a new playbook. Or I mean, this has existed for a while, but like it's becoming normalized. And now we're not even like looking at all the factors of it, and we're just being like, "Oh, she pooped in the bed." And even then, if you really read the documents about it, most likely the dog, and Johnny Depp wasn't even living there at the time. So was she going to shit in her own bed?
Right.
Like that's anyway. So. I do think that it is consequential. And I think for a lot of the reasons too, is like the amount of gravitational pull it has on social media, like on places like YouTube and TikTok. Like that's a lot of misinformation, weird takes going into the minds of younger people who are,
exactly.
This may be the first time they're maybe dealing with a case with intimate partner violence.
Right. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about a bill that might actually work.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it,
T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
And we're back. And last time we felt good about a bill, it was ending daylight savings time, I think.
But it was like the wrong one, too.
And also they chose the wrong one. A bunch of people are going to get hit by cars, I think, is because of the one they chose. But yeah, so this is the Schedules That Work Act.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Simple name. I'm like, okay, schedules that, okay, what's going on? So 58% of American workers are at hourly gigs, right? Like, and I think most of us know what it's like to work hourly and how uncommon it is to have your shifts be like consistent and predictable. Mm. So you can, yeah, you know, like plan your life, like whether it's like classes or childcare or, you know, helping out with your family, things like that. Having a consistent thing like, no, I only work Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. Like, I know, nailed on, those are, that's my week. So most people do not have that luxury. And we're constantly, you know, having to do weird shit, like be on call or have like these weird moments. Like, why the fuck am I on call? I work at a laser tag place. Like, the fuck are you talking about? Like, so I can break down the soda like syrup boxes when they go empty? Fuck that. So Elizabeth Warren and Rosa DeLauro from the House are introducing this bill because they know, like, you know, legislation like this should be easy, like a no fucking brainer for anybody to support. And who wouldn't want to have some basic rules when it comes to, you know, your managers making your schedule? Essentially, they're calling for new laws that would make it, you know, okay for, first of all, if you need a shift, to, like a schedule change, that you don't have to fear retaliation, that you're somehow going to be painted. Like we're talking earlier, like our shitty shift manager reflexes, where it's like, oh, you need to change your schedule. Well, how do we know we can count on you then?
Yeah.
Like right. that kind of shit. That like trying to do away with that kind of fucked up talk or just like that sort of environment. Also, to like just shitty things like being on call, like when you're like, I have to be able to not do anything. Like I can't half panic about being called into work like while I'm taking care of something. Or getting your hours cut in the middle of a work shift because things are slow.
Yeah.
And I get that sometimes it's unsustainable, but that is also money for the worker that no longer has access to that to survive. So they're looking at the polling and they say, wow, this could work.
What the hell? Seems like
even Republicans love this. 55% of Republicans support this bill. 55 on and look, and that's not bad considering how boot brained most conservatives are about like, going to work and being productive. But I just want to read like in the text of the bill or just like as they rolled out this bill, they're pointing to like why this is necessary, because it's not just like, oh, man, my fucking boss. Right. Quote, a growing body of research demonstrates that unstable and unpredictable work schedules have significant detrimental impacts on sleep quality, mental health and happiness, and are associated with unstable child care arrangements and negative health and behavioral outcomes for children. And impacts are likely to be the most severe for workers of color and their families, as workers of color are more likely than their white counterparts, even compared to white co-workers at the same company, to experience unstable work schedules. Unstable and unpredictable work schedules and the work-family conflict they produce are also associated with higher rates of turnover, which creates further instability for employers and workers. Just like, it's like right there, you're like, what's the problem?
It just makes sense.
Right.
And it's introduced by my president, Elizabeth Warren, who I voted for in the primaries. But hey.
We got Joe, you know.
Do we think this has a chance of like getting through? Like maybe the bipartisanship will help it get through and get passed?
Yeah, that sounds like it'll happen. I mean, it makes sense. So it probably won't pass.
Right.
I think, I don't know who's opposed to it yet, but you can tell somebody whose main donor is like the Chamber of Commerce or something.
For sure.
They're going to be like, hey, man, don't fucking make standardized humane treatment for workers a law. You fucking. What I pay you for.
They should cut out that part about why it's good for workers and just put the part where it's good for the corporations. Because
less turnover.
Yeah, hey, less turnover. Don't you want less turnover? I feel like that's how you got to talk in this current climate, because that's the only way. If you put that it's better for workers of color, girl, don't even put that.
Yeah.
Just put that it's good for the employers, because they don't want to hear that.
Right. We'll see what happens. I mean, I think you'd hope that something like this would work, but it is really interesting though when you just look at like the poll numbers, right? Like significant support for something like this from across the political spectrum. And it's like, it's hard to watch Democrats kind of tout these bills that have such bipartisan support, but not see the fucking thread here. You know, like, hey, man, fucking worker rights are really popular now since you're not willing to do anything about the inequality, like in terms of taxation for the wealthy. So maybe lean into this and watch your shitty poll numbers go up. But like, I don't know. I would think even the most cynical Democratic strategists would tell the DNC to go for like another rug pull on like worker rights in the midterms. But hey, it's still early. They may. You never know.
Let's see what they do. They've disappointed me tremendously.
Oh my God. It's literally like leaving breadcrumbs for like a child, which is how I lead my children home from school. It's just leaving a trail of breadcrumbs for some reason. Works. Just works. But it's just hey, over here. And then they get distracted by, in this case, lobbyists or whoever's going to tell them that this is going to make it impossible to make schedules or.
Yeah.
Instead of it'll make it slightly more difficult, but that's okay. Because
I mean, this is the thing. It's like, this was, I think Elizabeth Warren first tried to introduce it to Congress like in 2019.
Oh, wow.
So
So
been trying to chop at this tree, you know, for
she's
a
always ahead of the curve. No, she's always dope.
There was one, I want to say that like the one of the earliest ones was in Oregon in 2017. Yeah. Oregon, like, I think was one of the first, or at least to my knowledge, and I don't take that as the gospel truth, but I know in 2017 they also passed a similar thing. And it's, I think it's just one of those things, for ages people have always been advocating for something like this, which is you have to let people know when they're working and not working at a bare minimum. Like, we can't have the power dynamic be as you're completely beholden to your employer, but that is the status quo in this country. So I think that's why we see bills like this constantly being like, hey, how about now?
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe. But yeah, real low hanging fruit.
It feels like a stand-in for like either unions or just like a larger workers' rights movement or push or something like that. Because just schedules. But that's why I like Elizabeth Warren, because she just tries to do it like baby crumbs, exactly like what Jack was like, bit by bit. She just tries to break down the bigger movement of what we're trying to do. Like, before that, she was trying to do a bunch of like regulating the financial industry or the banking industry. She was trying to regulate it to make it more consumer friendly, to like make it more transparent and all these other things that she was trying to do, but they didn't listen to her. So she does her best to try to break things down for everybody, but it feels like the Democrats' strategy right now is still to appease the right, or to appease like these Republicans that don't want to work with them. So let's see what they do. They've been extremely disappointing.
Oh yeah. And meanwhile, you know, Biden just bows to the moderate wing, and then we just get a fucking flurry of things like, why the progressives fucked it all up?
Yeah. It's
like, excuse you? No. They look at the people who were saying no to the shit that was wildly popular. It wasn't fucking progressives.
And you would think that Biden would just go for it and just do it. Like, you're on your way out of life, you know, like you're very like, it's like balls to the walls. Like, you know, you only live once.
He's probably like, Hey, I got another run in me, you know? So 2024,
no, you maybe don't. It's YOLO right now. You might die tomorrow, Biden. I don't know why Biden even feels like he has another term. He might not have another week.
Yeah.
I was like, there was that quote he gave about Taiwan, and then
his administration immediately was like,
No, that was cap. That was cap. He was capping. That's all nonsense.
I was so mad when I saw that shit.
And you're like, oh my God. Like, is it that he's just freestyling up there?
It's like he saw how to be president 20 years ago and thinks that that's what we need right now. Like, be a warmonger right now. Everybody's trying to just survive inflation. Like, you're trying to, like, you think that we want the kind of president that we would have needed maybe 20 years ago, which we wouldn't have needed that at all anyway. But I feel like he's not able to pivot and focus on the moment and do what's needed in the moment.
No, and that's been clear with just his, you know, inability to have a real discussion about, you know, Roe v. Wade and how to actually codify proper abortion access into law. But I think that's hopefully, again, maybe this is a radicalizing moment for some people to be like, okay, I see things are really fucked up. I see that they have the votes for a lot of this stuff, but they're not doing it.
Yeah.
Make this make sense? Because let me tell you, I see what is happening to Madison Cawthorn. I'm like, damn, could you imagine if the Democrats did that shit to fucking Joe Manchin?
Right.
To try and get his ass in line. Like, to be like, oh, you really want to? Okay, you know, you pissed us off. Watch us eat your ass up. Because our, you know, Madison Cawthorn was getting in the way of their, like, polite stroll into fascism. And they did what they had to oust him pretty quickly.
So they're probably going to wait to see what happens with the midterms and then make a decision. But, like, I just started hearing, like, my first Democrat being like, I'm considering a run for 2024, assuming Biden doesn't run, but like almost like a, like that is a like 50-50 shot at this point that Biden doesn't run, at which point like the news cycle just becomes utter fucking chaos if he announces that he's not going to run.
Yeah.
But the person in question, Eric Adams from New York City.
Oh, great. A brand new mayor.
Yeah.
Who was a cop. Great. Amazing. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
More cops. More cops.
Cops. Cops.
Fucking
I think that's... let's just spend the last minute of the episode.
Cops. 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 Everybody.
Charlotte, such a pleasure having you as always. Where always can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
You know what? Hilariously, I am not on social media.
Hey,
good for you.
No wonder you're thriving.
Yeah, that's why I'm thriving. I'm just like, Amber Heard, who? What? No, I know.
But then you go on YouTube trying to find your put a ring on it clip.
No,
and
I know
like,
about
why
it.
Is...
I know. It's literally all over YouTube.
You're like, everything is this trial. How? I don't watch this shit, but they fucked the algorithms up. That's all I see.
Yeah. Hmm. I am starting a new blog for... new and aspiring screenwriters and creative hustlers like us, just giving, you know, tips and advice on how to thrive. It's brand new and hopefully it'll be up. It's called theworkingwriter.com. Work, W-E-R-K. The working writer. So get that work. Hopefully it'll be up by the time this episode is up. And if it's not, it'll be up at some point. So fantastic. That is brand new and I'm going to be launching that.
Is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying or just regular media?
I guess. Actually, my
magazine
sister,
article, maybe.
No, my little sister sends me hilarious.
Oh, good. Okay.
Shorts all the time. So I'm going to send it over to you guys. It's just this little girl in this wig store dancing with the little wig. And it's done. Right. And it's hilarious.
I felt like a Spanish, like a Puerto Rican in his hair. I felt Puerto Rican. Y'all know I love me some Puerto Rican. I felt Puerto Rican.
Wow, that girl is
Rican.
Working that wig.
Wait. So stupid.
That's so funny. Miles, where can people find you? What is a tweet you've been enjoying?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. And also check out, obviously, Mad Boosties, the basketball podcast Jack and I do. We got fantastic guests. This week is no different. Also, check out 420 Day Fiance. If you like 90 Day Fiance, some tweets that I like. Welichi, Welichi, Welichi. Let's try this one. This one is just funny to me because I laugh at people who are taking crypto L's, you know, when they can afford to. Okay, I'm not laughing at the small retail investor who may have been absolutely hoodwinked. But this is from More Butter at More Butter TV tweeted, Seth Green's Bored Ape NFT, which was set to star in its own animated show, was stolen through a phishing scam.
Don't tell me this, Miles. Don't tell me that.
Green no longer owns the commercial rights to the NFT, and thus the show cannot move forward. Oh my God. How is he going to perpetuate these racist memes? Oh, okay. All right.
I'm not laughing.
I know.
That's not a joke.
And here's another one for all the I think you should leave fans out there. President of Calendars at Mr. Zoomer tweeted a picture of a guy like with his new lawn sign. And you know those lawn signs that say like, in this house we believe, like love is love, Black Lives Matter, like those sort of, you know, being like, hey, you're in a safe neighborhood until you ask me for something by knocking on my door kind of signs. This sign says, in this house we believe, the bones are their money, so are the worms. They've never seen so much food as this. Underground, there's half as much food as this. Bones equal dollars. Just because that the Skeletons Came to Life song sketch is one of my favorites.
That is.
And the bones are their money.
The thing I like about I Think You Should Leave, which I always forget every one of the sketches until someone quotes it for me. And then I remember it all over again. And it's funny to me all over again. But it cannot stick in my brain for some reason, which is good. Which is good.
Yeah.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. A couple of tweets I've been enjoying. Ginny Hogan tweeted, I've been described as introverted by dozens of men I didn't want to talk to. And then Domitella Versace tweeted, asking a close friend, what do you do for work again? Which is just something I identify with. You can find
us. You know people like that? You're like, wait, what do you do?
I don't know. I don't know what any of my friends in finance do for a living. Like, none of them.
Oh, yeah. That's... Oh, I mean, yeah. Okay, facts.
Zero. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
Oh, man. This track is from Nia Archives, and it's called Love Light. I don't know where she is from, but this track is like very DIY, like pop kind of thing, but it almost feels like she's combining like West African high life, like guitar with drum and bass and singing on it. Ooh. It's a very like genre diverse, like very, like it's that mute when you hear it, you're like, oh shit, okay, we're in 2022 for sure. Listen to this shit. So this is Nia Archives with Love Like, L-U-V-L-I-K.
All right. Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to you all then. Bye.
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 There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.